right now.
This is
2FM's Game On.
Hello there and good evening. Firstly, big thanks to Mikey and to Demi, wherever she is, for taking us through the afternoon. It is Monday, October 20th, and you're listening to Game On with me, Shane Dawson, alongside Ruby Walsh.
And coming up between now and the new music show at 7, Alan Cawley and Stephen Kelly review all the big Premier League talking points, and fresh from lifting the Women's FAI Cup, we'll speak to Athlone Town star Kayleigh Shine.
Plus, Austin O'Malley details some county final drama, and of course, we'll debate our weekend sporting highlights. And we want to hear your highlights too, so get in touch by texting 51552, message us on WhatsApp 087 187 9200, or find us on X at GameOn2FM.
This is
2FM's
Game On.
Good evening, welcome along to the show. Ruby Walsh, how's the form?
I'm great, Shane, yourself?
I'm very well. Action-packed weekend to review, so I'm very much looking forward to this evening's show. Before we speak to Austin and indeed to Alan, however, some rugby news, Ruby, and some injury updates. Munster's uncapped centre, Tom Farrell, and Leinster's Jimmy O'Brien have been added to the Ireland squad ahead of their test against New Zealand and the November internationals. Mac Hansen suffered an aggravation of a foot injury in the closing stages of Connacht's game against the Bulls and has been ruled out. Bundiaki and Robbie Henshaw, with a hip and groin issue respectively, will continue to be assessed and will travel with the squad tomorrow. Munster duo Edwin Adogbo and Brian Gleeson, who had been due to travel with the squad to Chicago, have also been ruled out. So there are no further additions to the squad. Ireland scrum coach John Fogarty was giving an update today to the media.
I'm so excited for the lads coming in. Tom Farrell is a guy that I coached in under 20s, so I'm taking some credit for his success. So I'm delighted for him and Jimmy. It's a hugely exciting November, and to get an opportunity is brilliant at this stage. I know Edwin has had a tough couple of seasons dealing with injury, and it's disappointing for him. But look, both him and Brian, they'll be back, I'm sure. It's the timing is poor for them, but they'll be back, I'm sure.
Big opportunity for Tom Farrell and Jimmy O'Brien, but that's very desperate news for Mac Hansen.
It is. I mean, obviously the team are meeting today, flying to Chicago tomorrow, I believe. But big news for Tom Farrell. I mean, that's sport, isn't it? One person loses out, somebody else gets in. And I guess after the way he played at the weekend, Shane, he was probably feeling a little bit aggrieved that he wasn't in the initial squad, Tom Farrell.
So there was a few Munster players feeling that way. We will chat rugby in detail with Stephen Ferris tomorrow. Who knows, it might even pop up in our weekend highlights and lowlights. Austin O'Malley, Alan Cawley. Austin, how's the form?
Really good, yeah, really good. Great weekend. Loads of sport again, and was out and about on the road down west, so got to a county final, so I'm really, really energised after that, I have to say.
Happy days. Who knows, your highlights might centre around county finals. We shall see. Alan Cawley, how's the form?
I'm good, Shane. Ruby, yeah, as always, Monday, good form, good weekend. I was in your beloved
Talca Park
on Friday night. Good performance. They've had a great week. 3 wins on the bounce. Should secure that European spot for them, Shane. So
should be in the operative word.
I know, it should be okay now, but it's been a big week. And before we get into the highlights, I think Joey O'Brien probably deserves a mention as well. He's done a great job since he's gone in, and you could even argue he's taken it on another little notch since Damien has left. Big shoes to fill. Damien did a brilliant job, but I think Joey O'Brien deserves a lot of credit, because I was impressed with them now again the other night. They played very well. Beat Sligo Rovers.
He seems to have stabilised.
Now, it probably helped in some regard that there was all the staff there from the time anyway, so it wasn't that much of a change. Of course, Damien, a huge change, just the manager's position, but all the staff stayed, and there was continuity there in terms of his relationship already with the players. So I'd say that probably did help. But still, there's a big jump going from the assistant manager to the manager making decisions. Your head is on the chopping block, and I think he's done a really good job, Joey O'Brien.
He might be up for RTÉ Manager of the Year again, only to get picked by Willie Mullins, but sure.
Oh, well, Willie's the king.
You come second to Willie Mullins, you know you're doing something right.
Yeah. Willie Mullins' players can't even talk to him. Imagine you're a shoe in every year.
There's levels, clearly.
Wouldn't all managers love that if the players couldn't talk to him, really?
Possibly, maybe someone should take a leaf out of the books and not
talk. Really does, yeah. You know, so and that's, it's, yeah.
That's the only ones.
When the horses start talking back, you know, that's when they call it a day then, all day. It's good to actually, speaking of Willie Mullins Parish, Loughlin, isn't that? I think that's Willie Mullins Parish, Loughlin Bridge.
No, Loughlin Bridge is Willie's Parish. Loughlin is behind, up the hill behind them.
Oh, okay. So it could be bitter rivals there, I was going to say, that Willie.
Probably
be
a wall separating them. That, yeah.
There's actually a third club in the middle called Ballinabrana. It's for a small neighbourhood. There's three good clubs there, Ballinabrana, O'Loughlin and Loughlin Bridge. But no, yeah, O'Loughlin were good and Loughlin Bridge got beaten, I think, a division below them, didn't they?
Oh, okay. I have to brush up my Carlow County Championship knowledge. Austin O'Malley, your weekend highlights. Does the centre round County Championships or what caught your eye?
It does. Listen, I was down west the weekend, and yesterday I had the good fortune to go in to cover the Mayo Senior County Final, and it turned out to be an absolute epic encounter. I just think, again, I know we've talked at length here about maybe how the new rules have kind of opened up the game and so on, but the last three or four County Finals in Mayo they'd been damp squibs. There was one of them, I think, in 23 that it was 6-4 was the actual final result. So to see what played out yesterday and just the nature of it, I think the quality of the fair, it was a real, real robust encounter. Ballina going for three in a row, Westport looking to secure their second title only ever, and it looked like Westport had got across the line till we're what, 4 minutes deep in injury time when Frank Irwin hit an absolute monster of a free to bring it to a replay. But just, I think, you know, the club game, I think it's in rude health, and I think the opening up of it in terms of the rules and that has really helped. And there was a huge crowd there yesterday, and again it just brings back to home in terms of maybe the grassroots of the GAA, how important the club competitions are, and you know the purity of it that's around in terms of parish community and the buy-in there. You know, we have the intercounty and it's the blue ribbon, but there's just something really, really special about club championship.
Very much so. And so there was a tie, the celebrations, considering they won it in COVID, I think, as well. And they were stopping, obviously,
that's
the
right.
Story about Nace and consecutive titles, but
yeah.
some great celebrations.
But even I drove through a tie at the weekend, like, just to see all the flags. The place was red.
Yeah.
From one end of a tie to the other. That was middle of last week. Like, then to go and stop Nace was fair going, but a tie would be a rival club to mine here in St. Lawrence's, so happy for a tie, but not delighted for them.
Quick. A low light for Ruby, so a low light.
Some of the chants from the celebrations, they weren't holding back on
that. No. It was very Golden Cleric speech-esque. It got to a stage where I was like, okay, lads, okay.
Yeah.
Do they not know they're going to face Nace at some stage probably next year as well?
Well, it just tees it up nicely, so it does. Tees it up.
The beast will be back.
Alan Carley.
I have two, Shane, and I'm going to start for the second week in a row with horse racing. Oh. And Far Hills, again, the foreign racing. Ruby can fill us in on the geography and, I suppose, the history of Far Hills Racecourse. But Gordon Elliott was over there in America at the weekend. Big race over there. But he also had five winners on the card, I think, Ruby, if I'm not mistaken. So, fantastic weekend for Gordon Elliott as well.
You're correct and right, Alan. There was five jump races on the card. Gordon Elliott sent six horses to run in the five races, and he won all five. Jack Henry rode four of them. Danny Gilligan rode one. And Far Hills is about a half an hour from Newark Airport in New Jersey. It's only one jump race in America is quite small, and there's only one meeting a year in Far Hills. It's like the biggest, most upmarket point-to-point you're ever at in your life. But it's a huge social event in Far Hills, New Jersey. It's like all the cars pull in and they reverse up to the railing all the way around the track. And it's barbecues and beer tents, and it's an incredible party. Like, it's an incredible venue to go and see, but it's an incredible party. And all you can smell is steak and burgers, and even when you're galloping around there.
Picture here now. Yeah.
And you're starving on the horse, Ruby.
Yeah. And you're after a couple of jelly beans and
trying to make way.
Yeah, it is, but the only issue is the flight back from Newark is not suitable. So the lads had to scoot around New York and come out of JFK to be in Limerick yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I saw that we're home yesterday. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, no, but that's it suits coming west to east. You can do that. Jack Kennedy and Danny Gilligan, Gordon Elliott, Gavin Cromwell, Keith Donoghue, they were all back in Limerick yesterday, where one of my highlights came. Actually, Eric McNamara had the 1-2 in the Munster National for a small trainer based in Limerick. Had the first two home in the feature race. Takes a fair bit of doing, but Al, you gave us one, and it was an incredible achievement.
Sorry,
Gordon Elliott now.
On the race course, because, you know, we went down a tangent of Ruby getting sleepless nights from broken bones in Czechia.
Or the, last week,
which is his official name, Alan Carley. Did you have any visits to Newark?
I was in Far Hills once, yeah. Went to ride an American horse called Ronak, who won the American Grand National. Not today or yesterday, Shane, but I went in on a Friday, myself and Gillian, and we were back in Cork Racecourse then on the Sunday. Gillian is still giving out that we didn't stay the night looking at the party that was going on.
I agree with Gillian. You should have, surely you can celebrate.
We're all team Gillian here in Barricard now.
Model pro, Ruby. Well done.
Back for the Cork National.
I'm in your corner.
I couldn't even tell you where I finished in the Cork National. So, like, I probably should have stayed in New York.
I would imagine the clientele at that are a bit different than the spectators at Bettpage for the Ryder Cup. A different vibe.
Different vibe, yeah. Very much so a different vibe, yeah. No doubt about that. But a fair achievement from Gordon Elliott to bring five horses to America and to travel them that far, and for my staff. It's fair going to have them all turn up and perform the way they did. So it's no mean feat at all.
Yeah, brilliant from Gordon. And my second one is Harry Kane scored his 400th league club goal over the weekend. He's the top scorer for England, as we all know, all-time record scorer, 76 goals in 110 games. But he played in a game at the weekend where he scored that goal against Borussia Dortmund. And there's a clip doing the rounds, I'm not sure if you've seen it, Shane, or anyone. 3.5 minute kind of highlight package of his performance, but I've never seen anything like it. Everybody knows Harry Kane is just the goal scorer. He was back defending at one stage, kind of playing as people now label you with numbers as a number six. He was playing passes like a number eight, creating chances, defending in his own box. I've never seen anything like it, and the plaudits he's getting since of everybody speaking about this kind of all-round performance. And everybody speaks about the great players and Ronaldo, the great goal scorer, but there's something special about a fellow who can do a bit of everything. And Kane, I don't think, gets the credit he deserves across Europe, across the world. He's been unbelievable for such a long period of time. We had this discussion, I think, Ruby, a few weeks back about the longevity is always a sign of greatness for me. And he's been doing it now year after year. He's gone to Bayern Munich, gone to a different level even with them. And I just think he's absolutely phenomenal. The ultimate professional as well. Never any trouble, never any hassle. Still delivering at the highest level. But if you get a chance to look at this clip, honestly, I've never seen anything like it. He was unbelievable in the game.
Alan, how does somebody who can be England's all-time record goal scorer score 400 league goals, never get in a team that can win a Premier League?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to Ruby, I suppose.
Or an FA Cup even.
But I think that's a sign of his greatness as well, because if you're scoring that amount of goals in a team who's ordinary enough, as Spurs were, there was obviously one season where Pochettino got them to the Champions League final and they came up short against Liverpool, and they were very good that season. Probably could have won a league as well when they were just pipped by Chelsea. That was the closest they came, and I think if they had the strength and if they were able to keep those, there was Dele Alli, Son, Eriksen and Kane were the main four that time, and had he maybe strengthened and held on to Pochettino, they could have went on to win one, Ruby. Then there was all the discussion around, was he going to go to City? Were United going to break the bank from when obviously United were doing a bit better, and it probably just comes down to timing as to why he never made that move. Shearer was something similar, unbelievable goal scorer as well, but never won a
Shearer
league.
Won it. He won it at Blackburn.
But when he went to
still won one, didn't he?
Yeah, but when he went to Newcastle, all the talk there, Ruby, was would he have gone to United and he would have won everything like year after year. So I think it's just down to maybe obviously decisions, but timing as well. And imagine the amount of goals Kane would have scored if he was out of Man City. You look at Haaland now. But I just think over such a long period of time, everything that he's achieved so far, and I do believe he doesn't get the credit. I think he's phenomenal, Harry Kane.
Absolutely, gents. We're going to have to head for a break. Ruby, anything else catch your eye besides the Munster National?
Tom Farrell's try.
Munster Leinster.
Brilliant ship from Jack Crowley. But to go and take it on, I mean, when you play a ball in rugby over a player's head like that, it's an intentional knock-on if you don't catch it on the other side. So, you know, to roll the dice and actually pull it off and then darting under the post, I thought it was magic to watch. And I can imagine if he had been wearing blue, what we'd have been hearing about.
Very true. On that note, I do have to give just very brief mentions. St. Vincent's Camogie, 4 in a row in Dublin. So very well done to the girls. Joey Nang's save. Never mind Simon Powers' cracking goal against Rovers. Joey Nang's save. Look it up on League of Ireland social media channels. Volley reaction save. Unbelievable. Down to like save the season. And also, we don't have time to get into it, but the sumo wrestling. See the sumo wrestling over the weekend?
I'm glad we don't have time to get into it, lads. Sumo wrestling.
Sumo unbelievable. Wrestling. Over in England, social media content, look it up. We're going to take a short ad break. You can look it up. Paul from Sligo texts in, Shane, I think Mona McSherry and Ellen Walsh deserve a mention after their medal haul in the last few days. Absolutely. They were unbelievable. The World Aquatic Swimming World Cup in America. Next up, the next stop in Toronto, Canada, the 23rd to the 25th of October.
I think there's six swimmers going there, Shane. think a few more going there to join them.
There is indeed, there is indeed. So a whole heap of swimmers from Team Ireland. So hopefully that success continues. We're taking a short out break. We're continuing our football chat. Alan Cawley, Stephen Kelly are with us. We're going to hear from Ireland boss Carla Ward. But up next, we're going to hear from Sports Direct Women's FAI Cup winner, Athlone Town's Kayleigh Shine.
Game on. Association football.
Now, fresh from lifting the Sports Direct Women's FAI Cup at Tallaght Stadium, Athlone Town cult hero Kayleigh Shine joins us on the line now. Kayleigh, first off, congratulations and thank you for taking time to speak to us. And thank you for taking time out of celebrations, I would imagine.
Thanks a million for having me on. I suppose still celebrating at the moment, but happy to take the time.
Yeah, what
interviews and talk about it.
What have the celebrations entailed? I say it was a great night in Athlone Town. I saw Athlone tweet well to meet us all on the bridge at 9 o'clock last night.
Yeah, we walked both the trophies across the bridge. Last night, and there was a lot of locals and fans there to support us. So went over the bridge, had a few celebrations there, and back to the Shamrock Lodge Hotel where we had a bit of food and a bit of music and things like that to catch up with family and that.
Yeah, and I can hear in the background that the celebrations are clearly ongoing. Listen, I know it's going to take a bit of time for it to sink in, but achieving an historic double with everything that's gone at Athlone Town, the turnover in manager, you had a brilliant European adventure. Just how big of an achievement is it for this group? And like, this is something that will be remembered for years to come.
Yeah, 100%. I think for the past even 2 years prior, you know, we've constantly been making history, and for this year to be able to come out on top and to have such a great run that we've had has been amazing. And it's never something that I suppose we would have expected, but we worked hard no matter kind of what obstacle was thrown our way. We always just kind of put it behind us and carried on, I suppose, just to get ourselves over the line, and that's what we've done. And I think we proved that even yesterday. You know, it was a tough battle, and just to come out on top of how we did, you know, the resilience that we showed on the pitch really proved kind of what we've been like as a team all year.
I mentioned introducing you as a cult hero, and I mean that genuinely, because you were there from the start. You were playing local football in Roscommon before graduating to the seniors when they first entered the league back in 2021. Could you imagine that these trophies and this success was coming down the line when you first stepped into the senior setup at Athlone?
No, never in a million years, to be honest with you. I suppose when we first joined the League of Ireland, it was very tough for ourselves. I suppose we were finishing last nearly in every competition, which was to be expected as newcomers into the league. And then I suppose when Ciarán Coilduff came in and we won our first cup final, it was like, oh, I didn't think this was anything, you know, that we'd ever be able to do. And that win alone was just exceptional. Cup final days are the biggest days of the year, and it's the biggest game, I suppose, that everyone looks forward to, especially when the league is out of your grasp. The cup is always there, and it's such a big momentous day with all the fans and the atmosphere alone. So never in a million years did I think Athlone would be winning a cup, never mind League Cup, and having a little taste of Champions League.
The taste of Champions League, Kayleigh, are you looking forward to that again?
Yeah, I think for this year, you know, it was something we hadn't done before, and we never really knew kind of much about Champions League, and to kind of have a little taste about it now and kind of know what to expect for next year. I suppose this year we were kind of going in a little bit blindsided, but for a team that went in blindsided, we done fairly well, I think, in my opinion. And then I suppose to progress to the Europa Cup and beaten by a good Glasgow City side. And these are all teams that are full-time, you know, it's only part-time football really in Ireland at the moment, and I don't think it's too far away from the full-time teams.
I know it's part-time and it's work and dedication and application, but when you win and you're all enjoying it, how worth it is it?
It's, I suppose when you put it like that, it makes it sound a lot easier. It's very easy to keep going and, you know, to keep pushing on when you're winning these types of competitions. And I suppose it's when you're losing, it's kind of hard. You know, when you see teams at the bottom of the league, you kind of do commiserate with them a little bit, because, you know, they're giving in just as much time as we are. But I suppose when it's not paying off, like it has for ourselves for this year, it's harder to keep going. And it's kind of, I suppose, you kind of drop your confidence a little bit, and to try, you know, we want to keep this league as competitive as possible. And a lot of teams, you know, a few years ago, it might have been the same 2-3 teams in the top three and winning the league. But to be able to change that around a little bit, like ourselves coming in on top and Treaty are a good team, even Bowes that we were playing, they're all really, really good teams that maybe a year or two ago would have been in the same position that we were in when we first started out. And to see how they've progressed now, it's really shown how much the league is coming along and that it's worth it, even though it's only part-time and you do give up a lot of your own personal time and time with your family and things like that. It can be worth it once you kind of put your head down and see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Speaking of the challenges, obviously people will look and a double winning season is unbelievable, but it was difficult. You had to go through a change in management with Colin Fortune stepping away, John O'Sullivan coming in when the league still wasn't fully confirmed, albeit you had a good advantage. But did that bring the squad together? Because you would have needed that unity and you would have needed leadership among the playing group when there was uncertainty around the management.
Yeah, I've always kind of said we always had a strong backbone of the team. Although we've had a lot of newcomers coming in, we never let little things like this affect us. If anything, we kind of took it in our stride and pushed on to prove that we're the best in the league, because little setbacks don't actually set us back. If anything, they kind of drive us on and motivate us more to want to do better and to prove that, you know, we're just a good team, true and true. And I suppose even if, like, we've had John come in, and John's been great since he's come in. He's very positive. But, you know, the 11 and the subs and everyone that we have, sometimes you think, do we even need a manager? But of course you need a manager to put out a team, or else you'd want everyone starting. But it's a team of leaders. That's the only way to describe our town.
Well, one of the leaders, Kelly Brady, not bad. Hat-trick, training with the Ireland squad. Is she someone that we will see regularly in Ireland squads?
I hope so. We seen Kelly off there today. We all went out for food and seen her off while she was heading down to the camp. But yeah, Kelly has proved herself this year, you know, coming in top goal scorer, scoring 3 goals in a cup final. I suppose you can't really do much better. And her knee slide proved it all in the end, you know. It's a Kelly Brady world and we're all just living in it, really.
Well, on that note, Kelly Shine, I'll let you get back to the celebrations. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Athlone Town, double winners and historic season. Now, sticking with women's football, the Republic of Ireland squad gathered in Dublin today, including Athlone Town's Kelly Brady, ahead of Friday's UEFA Nations League promotion relegation playoff first leg tie against Belgium at the Aviva Stadium, which you can hear live commentary of here on 2FM's Game On. Last month, the FAI said it would mount a strong legal defence against allegations of discrimination made by former Republic of Ireland women's head coach Eileen Gleeson. Her legal team will allege that while the women's team benefited from an equal pay agreement, they were not afforded the same travel, security, medical and performance support arrangements as the men's team. Ward was asked by RTÉ's Anthony Pine today if she was happy with the structures that surrounded the squad.
Those that know me, I'm always happy. I'll always make the best out of any situation. So, in short, yes.
You'll be aware that your predecessor, had issues around travel, medical support, things like that. Is there anything from your point of view that could be better here?
Yeah, look, you can always improve, right? Every environment can improve. I say this all the time. When I came in, I knew there was work to be done. I think goes back to, I think my whole career I've been at places where I've had to bang down doors and kick down doors, and I can be quite annoying because I can constantly ask for more and try and get better standards, better facilities, better everything for players, and I'll continue to do so. So it's something that, I don't know if I'm answering your question here. Yes, of course, there's challenges, but yes, are we consistently working towards improving everything we do? Yeah.
There's nothing in terms of like maybe certain assurances you were given coming into the job that you've been disappointed with, or you haven't come to fruition as you thought you might?
That happens in every walk of life, right? Whether you're in a relationship or whether you're in a job, I think there's always going to be things that pop up that you maybe don't expect, but it's how you deal with them and how you face them. And I certainly face them with conversations. I'm probably the biggest communicator. Like I said, I can be quite annoying, can't I, Gar, with my communication. I communicate constantly. And that's constantly challenging, and I will continue to do so to make us better.
Now, later in the press conference, Carla Ward was asked if she believed the women's national squad should be resourced in the same way as the men's squad.
It depends what we call resources, is what I would say. And the reason I say that, and that's not shying away from the question, as you know me by now, I answer anything that comes my way, right? But there is conversations on what the realities are and where we're at and what is being spent on what. And there are conversations currently ongoing and paused for this camp, because it's important that we focus on this camp, and those conversations will continue after around what that actually looks like. And this has been going on for a few months now. I tell you what impairs my ability to get results, the lack of talking about football, and maybe the noise that isn't football. And the more we can focus on football, the better, and the quicker we can talk about football, the better. I've been at clubs where resources aren't quite adequate. When I come in here, there's no secret. I think I said after the second press conference that there was things that needed to change and we needed to change, and we have those conversations. You know, David's been receptive to things that I've gone to him with. There's been areas that I think we need to improve, and they are constant conversations. So it's very different. Am I happy? Yes. Am I happy with everything? No, things can always be better. The resources, the standards we have right now shouldn't impact this week. We're talking about a bigger piece, right? So the bigger piece is, how do we improve standards across the board as an organisation? How do we make sure that our focus is football? That is critical. Because I would say, since I've come into the job, 80% hasn't been football. So you have to then refocus everything back to football. Football is what we're paid for, what we need to be judged on. I'm going to be judged on results, right? So the quicker we can talk about football and focus on football, the better.
Alan Colley, I appreciate there's a lot to digest there, but what stands out to you from those comments?
How real she is. That was very, very good, Shane. Explained everything. Very honest.
Didn't shy away from anything.
Nothing. Answered all the questions in some detail as well, without trying to gloss over anything. And I agree with everything that she said, I have to be honest with you. No matter what job you go into, there's certain standards. You're trying to raise the standards, but there'll be certain barriers that may be holding you back to get to those standards that might take time. And a lot of that might be finances, and the word that's used a lot there is resources. But I think she's honest enough to say they have everything on the table at the moment that will allow them get a result in the game Friday and the second leg, that it won't impact their preparations this week. And that's good enough for her, and she's happy. Is there a broader picture in terms of raising standards across the board and a bigger argument to have? And she said there that they're having plenty of conversations behind closed doors. I'm all for that, and she's all for that. And once they're honest and genuine conversations, there is no issue whatsoever, Shane. So I actually think Carla Ward, that's probably the best I've heard her speak since she's come in. That was excellent, and hopefully now they can go on and obviously get the job done in the games upcoming, Belgium starting on Friday night. But in terms of, and you can only go back to Kayleigh's interview in terms of the conversation around trying to improve standards, and that's just the domestic league. Then you move it on to Carla in terms of an international level, and they're trying to move it on. So these things crop up all the time, Shane, but that was good enough for me, and that was very honest, the way she answered everything there.
I would fully agree with Alan Colley. Stephen Kelly, moving on to the Premier League. Arnie Slot spends the equivalent of about €6 million. But what's gone wrong?
you're in good form tonight, Ruby.
Yeah, spring in his step after the results. It's so hard to pinpoint. I think the huge change in the forward line is massive. Trent's, obviously we spoke on here before about the loss of their teammate, that you can't underestimate how much of an emotional and psychological issue that would be towards the squad as well. Could they have won that game? I think they could have. I think they had the chances to win it. I think Gakpo's header at the end to equalise, I think he's hit the post there three times or hit the woodwork. So I don't think it's a lack of getting into the right areas or creating chances. I just think that final touch putting things away. Mo Salah dropping off is massive for them. He's been their go-to guy for the last 6 years, 7 years. He's been everything when it comes to goal scoring in Liverpool. And, you know, when you have him dropping down in the number as well, it's going to affect it. But I do think it will come good. I think watching them, I think there's enough about that team to think that they've got, they can go. But yeah, losing the Man U home for the first time, I think that's like, is that 9 years, 7 years at Anfield? I think that's an absolute horrendous way to go about it. And I think to, you know, to, that's 400 spin now. So yeah, things have to change quickly for them. I still believe that the squad is good enough for that team to make big inroads in the league.
I would agree with you, and they probably should have won. No, not probably. They should have won yesterday, but there was still something about Man United for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I think United deserve the credit here, Ruby, to be fair, because for the first time they probably showed what we've been crying out for, really, in terms of just the, you ride your luck, you stay in the fight, fire in the belly from kind of minute one, started off great, obviously getting the goal. Bruno Fernandes should put them 2-0 up. But just in terms of their application and their endeavour throughout the day, I thought they were absolutely fantastic. And of course, when you go to places like Liverpool, they're the league champions, you're going to have to ride your luck. They're going to have spells, and that's exactly what happened. You're expecting your keeper maybe to pull off a couple of saves, your defenders to stand up. Maguire obviously was the one yesterday. But I think across the board, and when you think of the criticism that this team has taken and the manager as well, and we've all been guilty of it in writing them off, I think they were absolutely fantastic the way they stood up. And what I would love to see now, that's the second, that's the first time they've gone back to back. It all focuses now, can they go 3 games on the trot? And slowly but surely it has to start somewhere, Ruby. And I thought Maguire spoke really well after the match in terms of, yes, it was a big win, yes, we'll enjoy it, but there's been lots of false dawns that he's seen throughout his time there in 7 years. Hopefully this is not a false dawn, and they want to build on that. So I think they deserve massive credit, Man United, yesterday. I thought they were good.
They'll go 3 games on the trot. Brighton at home, away to Forest, and then away to Spurs. They'll go 5 games on the trot.
Brighton at home is a tough. I think that's a tough
Brighton
one.
At home will be the toughest game. What about Spurs yesterday?
Again, I thought Tottenham had a chances. I thought that. Well, let's just talk about that second goal. Have you seen a better pass, touch, and then finish in one sequence for that second Aston goal? The pass from Cash is one of the most outstanding passes I've ever seen. Side-winded volley out to Brendan. His touch is take it out of the air, like 4 or 5 feet up in the air, bring it down, and then to whip it into the bottom corner. It's one of the most technically beautiful goals I've seen from start to finish in passing build-up. But I thought Tottenham had the chances. I thought Tottenham could have won it, and Villa did well to get back into it. But I don't think Tottenham are lacking much. I just think just those final little bits. I think they're missing a striker. I think they really are missing a central pivotal person that can score for them. But I thought that part, I thought Tottenham looked very good as well. But Villa, you know, I expect them to be there at their best. I expect them to be a team pushing for Europe. And they've been poor this season for a long periods, but I expect them to get back to the level where they're a top six, top seven team.
And to compound the misery for Spurs fans, Arsenal extended their lead at the top of the table. And I enjoyed how The Guardian put it. For Arsenal, this was another day like all the others. The kind of game you just have to win to be champions. Maybe one day Arsenal will play a game where you don't have to win, or a game you would just quite like to win.
Yeah, and that can be the case all season once the result is what you want it to be at the end of the season, Shane. And when you look at them, and if these games become kind of quite routine, that's obviously speaking very positively about Arsenal, because if you're going out every week and you're just churning out a 1-0, a 2-0, whatever the case may be, in games that you're expected to win, you're obviously doing something right. So it's set up for them now. Like, all the questions that's been posed to Arteta about getting over the line, and can he do it, and can the players do it, and all those things. He's built the team, he's built the squad, he's been there 4 or 5 years now. Everything is set up. This is the year it has to happen, Shane. And when you look at the problems Liverpool have, I would throw Man City back into the mix once the monster is still fitting well, because Haaland is banging in the goals as we can see, and he'll always have a chance with him. If he continues this form, it's frightening. But in terms of Arsenal and the start that they've had so far in Arteta, he'll be over the moon with it. As I said, I think he's done a really good job up to now. It's all set up for them, Shane. Just go and deliver.
Can Mikel Arteta handle the pressure as Arsenal manager? Speaking of managers and pressure, Ange Postecoglou. Do you feel sorry for him, Stephen?
Not really. He's got a £7 million cheque for what, 7 games? Mm. Like, how can you really feel sorry? Like, I think he's went in there. I think when you compare how he went into Spurs and how he went into Forest, he went into Spurs and there was a kind of an excitement about him, even as a Spurs fan. I like he was pretty honest. I like how he spoke. He was a bit snarky, but there was something kind of enjoyable about it. it's all changes. The media change went to Forrest, and I just think he seems like it was never going to work. It was absolutely never going to work. And on the back of their Premier League performances last year, Forrest was never going to be the team he was going to be able to get back up to a decent level. I wasn't where last year under Nuno. But listen, if you can get going as a manager and get sacked, I'm sure he'd be devastated. I'm sure his professional pride is absolutely wounded. But I'm sure that £7 million check would cushion a lot of those blows.
Yeah, it's a nice payoff.
I would agree with Stephen on that. He comes across so bitter now, Postecoglou, and it's horrible. And I don't know if he's been driven to that, but I've no sympathy either for him as well. He's coming in antagonising journalists and almost picking fights and looking for fights. And the results are horrendous. It's okay, you get away with that maybe when you're winning. But look at the concession of goals. And you know who's another manager who I'm just earmarking it now, Shane. I'm just flagging it with you.
This is very Thai GAA golden cleric over here now again.
I'm just flagging it with you. Arnie Slot. Did you hear
Slot.
His interview after the match, Shane, so disingenuous towards Man United. I knew what they were going to do. They were sitting in a low block, they play loads of long balls. Manchester United played very well yesterday, and whether Manchester United played 100 long balls or sat in a low block all day, it's up to him to come up with something to beat them.
Sorry, Slot played 4-2-4 that basically United unravelled.
Oh yeah, and they were a mess. But regardless, Shane, he comes out. You know what the most annoying thing for me when you hear managers speak is when they come out afterwards and say, "Oh yeah, we knew they were going to do that." Well, if you knew they were going to do that, do something about it. That drives me insane, and he's always at it, and he comes out trying to give explanations where, oh yeah, well, they were going to set up like this and they were going to do this and I knew they were going to do that, and I'm kind of saying, give a bit of credit to the opposing team and the opposing manager. Like, it's so disingenuous. So I'm just earmarking him. If he continues this, he'll be getting it.
start the campaign, bring back Jurgen Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp has stated on the podcast theoretically who knows, he could return to Liverpool.
He's no Klopp Slot, let me tell you, he's no Klopp.
Speaking of managers, what about tonight? West Ham and Brentford. West Ham are going shocking.
Well, that's being kind there, Ruby. They've been awful, but I think getting Nuno is a great appointment. I do think he is a great appointment in there for the way it is. The fans are in protest, and I think there's a lot of not going to turn up. All aimed at the board, but West Ham fans, they won the Conference League, they had David Moyes, and they're all geared up for change. We want to change the style, we want to change the football. Never content with what they had. Complained about the stadium, but when they moved from Upton Park, that's still not being resolved, you know, about the atmosphere. But if the fans create the atmosphere, I know the stadium is a huge part of it, and you're sitting back on a track, but you can go to some Olympic stadiums and have the best experience in the world, even though you're sitting miles back. It's all based on the football on the pitch and how it's gone. I think they've not got behind the team this season. There's been they're really disgruntled with it, and I think that's fed into them. But I think Nuno will get a tune from this side, and maybe they'll be better off towards the end with him in charge.
Two handy ones for Keith Andrews, so West Ham and then Liverpool on Sunday.
Well, certainly tonight, I think he'd be hoping that would be certainly an opportunity because of the trouble that's going on with West Ham, and obviously the manager in the door. You look at the league table as well. The only worry I have for Keith, and obviously we're looking at it through Irish eyes and hoping that he does well, but you look at all the promoted teams have had such good starts. Sunderland are obviously on 14 points already. Leeds are on 8. Burnley picked up a win at the weekend. He would have been looking at the start of the season thinking, a couple of them will be below me, you would think. Mm. So now the three of them have had really good starts. You're looking over your shoulder if they were to lose tonight. You have Forrest, who you would expect, maybe Sean Dyche looks like goes in there. They'll move up the table, you would think.
Will he be a good fit?
I think Dyche, yeah, because he's like Nuno, really. And the way they set up under Nuno, Dyche will be something similar. And they have a good squad of players as well. Forrest will up that table now that Postecoglou is gone.
What about Kevin Kelleher gone into Brentford? Like, their goal difference is -3. They've conceded a lot of goals. He's not under pressure, but he's getting plenty of game time and plenty of shots fired at him, Stephen.
Listen, you're a completely different kettle of fish playing for Brentford than playing for Liverpool. Liverpool dominate possession, dominate the ball, and you're relied upon when in a few moments of the game. I think Cuevin's got that. For Ireland, similar to playing for Brentford, you're under pressure a lot. I think Cuevin is up to the task. I think he's a wonderful goalkeeper. I think he's pulled off some great saves. I think he does. I'm probably going to curse him now, but I don't think he looks like he has a mistake in him, if you know what I mean. I know he was young and he made a couple before at Liverpool, but I just seems he looks more assured, makes better decisions, I think. And even though Brentford, which are a team that are going to be under a bit more scrutiny defensively, I think he'll come up trumps him. I think he's a very, very good signing for them.
Okay. Great stuff. Stephen Kelly, thank you for joining us. Alan Colley, thank you for joining us. Adrian Thanks, Ames, going to be joining us from Denver. Actually, Al, before you go, Bose or Pats, in a word, in a couple of words, who's going to win this evening?
Bose.
Okay. I know some fans are hoping for a draw.
Well, I was wrong about Pats on Friday.
That's so very true. So don't think Alan Colley's word is gospel. Right, gentlemen, we're taking a break. We're going to chat to Adrian Ames at Dailymun. And Austin O'Malley is standing by to go through some county final drama.
This is 2FM. This is 2FM's Game On.
Hey, very welcome back to the show. Austin O'Malley is still with us to go through some county final drama. 51552 is the text number. On a Kilnamona, crowned Clare senior camogie champions for the first time in 5 years after defeating title holders Tuath Clonlara following extra time. Just to mention that, because I did mention Vincent's earlier, Austin, as well.
You did, and actually just there was an interesting just popped into my eyeline there with the Vincent's camogie win, that there's a girl, Murrin Kelleher, who played number 8 midfield for Vincent during the weekend. She played the full 60 minutes post. She only gave birth to little Satanta, I think, 9 weeks ago.
Wow.
So when I heard it, I just thought it was an incredible feat in terms of, you know, from a sports science perspective and a conditioning perspective, and, you know, to get somebody back on the pitch and to play 60 minutes after that. So, you know, huge credit to her, but huge credit to everybody around her as well. Big milestone. Can't be done.
Yeah. Then we spoke with Julianne Russell, I think, coming back playing football as well. So
that's
amazing,
right.
amazing stories.
Great stories.
We covered the Mayo final in your highlights. We touched briefly on a tie against Naas, but to stop a bid for what, a fifth successive Kildare title, Philly McMahon gone in as Naas manager. Like, it is a great achievement for a tie.
No, it is. Yeah, it is. It's a super, super achievement. Obviously, Naas have had a real stranglehold on that over the last number of years. And like, Naas are peppered with an awful lot of quality and experience that, you know, they've come out 4 times in a row, and they've been very unlucky not to win a Leinster title in that. But I suppose when you look at a tie, it's no surprise. They've got a lot of quality there as well. Niall Kelly, Kevin Feely, you know, and Davy Hyland. So they've a lot of quality about them. They did win one back in 2020, was it, during the COVID year. But, you know, they will really, really relish that, and they'll celebrate it. And they were written off. You know, a lot of people were thinking that it was going to be Naas that was going to be heading to Aucklin to play Bolton Glass. But They managed to see it out, and I think they went on a scoring spree there from the 38 to the 48 minute. They hit 7 points on a, you know, and that really kind of gave them the cushion to see them out.
Yeah, a crowd of just 200 in that final during COVID.
So, yeah, amazing. Those times, you have to...
Around then. In the end, the Dublin Senior Football Championship finished up pretty much as it began, with Ballyboden St. Enda's overcoming Nafina back in August. Eamon O'Reilly side blitzed Nafina by 17 points. It was a closer tie, but still Ballyboden, good value for the win. Their first title since 2019. So no Dublin double for Nafina. The Hurlers are in action this Saturday live on RTÉ. Was this a high-quality final?
Listen, conditions were really, really poor, and I think, you know, even it was, you know, 7-all at half time, and I think Ballyboden going in were really happy with that. They were coming out with the wind at their back, like, so conditions did dictate, I thought, but Ballyboden put on a big, big push in that final quarter, and, you know, Keane Darcy that popped up with that brilliant goal in the 53rd minute, and that really was the nail in Nafina's coffin. Like, I think throughout, really, you know, there was a number of players for Ballyboden I just thought were exceptional. Even Colin Basquel was super on the night. I thought his energy, his industry, he kicked 2 scores, but he was at the heart
of the match, wasn't he?
He was a man of the match.
Which is the greatest translation of a man of the match.
Yeah. But he was super. He kicked a couple of scores, but he had fingerprints on everything. He was taken down for 4 or 5 scorable frees as well. Young Sweeney came in with 6 or 7 points as well, and Ryan O'Dwyer. So yeah, they're back and they're up and at it. They haven't won, obviously, one in 6 years. But Nafina, the wait goes on in Moby Road. So that's, I think, it's 24 years. It's gone back to 2001 since they won one. So and Bowden will be out in Leinster, and it's the Wexford champions they meet.
Loughlin got a late winner to claim the Carlow Championship. There was draws in Meath and Westmeath, so plenty of replays as well, Austin.
Yeah, plenty of replays, and we've seen it even down in my own home county. There was a replay there as well, so another day out. So I suppose people are always thinking, should it be done on the day or whatever, with the way the season is. But I think a county final, you know, to get another week, and I know in Mayo's case, they only had the week to prep to go in for that last week. So there has been a lot of draws actually in games this year, notably enough across the championship season, the club season.
Of the 17 senior finals played in hurling and football last weekend, 5 finished level after 60 minutes. A further 5 were decided by 3 points or less. So there wasn't much between many sides. Great story in Leitrim Tell me about it, Austin.
Yeah, no, super, super story. Leitrim Gaels won their maiden county title. Big result, I suppose. They beat Ballinamore 119-14. So they're a club that's only, they're only formed since 1997. So this is a major kind of upset in Leitrim. But I suppose in every story, there's always a subplot. And in this one, there's the three Jones brothers who transferred in from Derry Gonnelly and Fermanagh. One plays at 8, one plays at 11, and one plays at 14. So that's a real, real, I suppose, quality spine when you think of the quality that they brought to it. And they've been scoring heavy throughout the championship. So it's a great, great story. But it's a sign of the times when you see players, just moving from club to club. Mm.
Derry Gonnelly, the Fermanagh, that'll be a replay next weekend.
That's right.
As well, 14-man Derry Gonnelly, who had Ryan McGovern sent off for 11 minutes, led by 5 points with 5 minutes to play. But holders Aaron Gales displayed great resilience, and in additional time, Shane Rooney and Seamus Ryder converted frees for Aaron Gales to level the match. So brilliant. Kilku's dominance continues. So
seven years now, is it?
Yeah, unprecedented seven in a row. And also, which only, to be fair, excuse my ignorance, 13-14.
Yeah, that's an incredible statistic. It is ridiculous. And like, they hadn't won too many up before that, you know. But once they got their hands on it, they really haven't let go. And they've been an extraordinary side when you think of, you know, the population there and what they've done. 13-14, it's some hall of middles. And I suppose they're called the Magpies, so they definitely like a little bit of silver in terms of what they're what they're going after there. They're a very, very spirited bunch when you think about it, and when you watch them play and what they've done. And obviously they went on and they won an All Ireland title and that, and there's a couple of Ulster and that. Some might say that they might have taken a little bit more, but look, it's an incredible statistic, 13-14.
Yeah, you mentioned as well, as of the 2009 season, Kilku had 9 titles, the last coming in 1937.
Yeah, there you go. That's... I knew there was a huge gap, but as I said, once they've got their hands on it, they've certainly haven't relinquished it.
Absolutely. Okay, Austin O'Malley, thank you for joining us this evening. Great chatting as always. We're turning our attention to the League of Ireland, because there is a big match in the race for Europe this evening. Adrian Eames is at Dalymount Park ahead of Bowes and Pats, and what should be an absolute cracking contest, Adrian.
Yeah, it really should, Shane. Yeah, the European place is up for grabs at the moment. The title may well be out of reach for both these sides here at Dalymount Park in terms of Bohemians and St. Pat's, with Shamrock Rovers poised to finally get over the line perhaps this coming weekend. We shall see. But Bowes and St. Pat's will be fighting for a place in Europe. It's all quite tight, really. The top three guaranteed European football, and fourth may well be enough. That could well be the case if Shamrock Rovers beat Cork City in the cup final next month. Bowes currently lying in fourth position, Pats in sixth, but they're only a point behind the Gypsies, and fifth place, Drogheda United. Contrasting results at the weekend for both sides. Bohemians slumping to a 2-0 loss in Galway, while Pats bounce back from their cup semi-final loss on Lee's side with a 1-0 win over Shamrock Rovers. A very important win for Stephen Kenny's side in terms of kick-starting their run into the league campaign. After this, Bowes have third place Shelburne here at Dalymount Park on Sunday before going to Drogheda on the final day, while Pats take on Waterford at home on Friday before facing Shells at Tolka on Saturday week. In terms of team news, two changes for Bowes from Galway: Lee Kavanagh and Conor Parsons in for Rob Cornwall and Archie Meekison. Pats, after their exploits, that win over Shamrock Rovers, unchanged. The pitch is likely to be a bit on the soggy side after some heavy downpours a little earlier. The game kicks off here, Shane, at 7:45.
Adrian, before we let you go, there was some unrest among Bowes fans, understandably, considering the 2-0 defeat to Galway last Friday. So what will the atmosphere be like this evening? Because Alan Reynolds has come under a bit of pressure. He's been given a contract extension. He's done a good job for Bowes. There's been spells where it hasn't gone quite as they would have liked or would have hoped. But achieving European football, would that be seen as a successful season?
Oh, I would think so in the circumstances, because really nobody mounted a challenge in terms of Shamrock Rovers. Bowes were kind of lurking thereabouts in terms of European football. But like so many of the other clubs, they didn't really mount a serious challenge. So European football would be huge. Obviously, they were very disappointed to go out of the cup in the manner which they did, losing here to Sligo Rovers. And Friday was a real setback in terms of pushing on for Europe, losing in Galway. And it was the manner of the defeat as well. A little earlier, speaking to the club's website, Alan Reynolds was making the point he wants the crowd to provide energy, and he wants the players to bring a lot more energy than they displayed at Eamon DC Park on Friday night. So this is a huge game for them in terms of the run into the season. It's in danger just fizzling out, and that would be a real concern for everybody involved with Bowes if that were the case.
On the flip side, can the result for Pats against Rovers be a springboard for a really, really strong season? Because they did look a bit mentally weak in the last few matches.
Yeah, that was a huge win, obviously, off the back of the win against Shamrock Rovers on Friday. Super goal from Simon Power as well, cutting in from the left-hand side, and an absolute rocket into the back of the net, leaving Shamrock Rovers' celebrations on hold once again, for now at least. But from their perspective, obviously, the loss in Cork was hugely dispiriting. And again, a little like Bowes in Galway, it was the manner of the loss. They never really turned up in that Cup semi-final and got roundly whacked by Cork City by 3-0. So they had to show some mettle and some resolve to come back and put in that performance, which they did on Friday night. It may well be a long shot, you'd have to feel, Shane, given their current league position in terms of Europe, but all they can do is win the remaining games and see where they end up, where the cards may fall, we shall see.
Okay, great stuff. Adrian Ames, thank you for joining us. That is all we have time for this evening. Thank you for listening. We're back tomorrow from 6, where myself and Ruby will be joined by Paul Corry and Mark Langdon, the Chat Champions League. Stephen Ferris reviews all the URC weekend drama and plenty more besides. Today's show was produced by Damien O'Mara, and a broadcast coordinator was Jarla Holland. Up next here on 2FM, the new music show with Better De Silva, so do not go anywhere. From all of the Game On team, have a great evening. Mind yourself. It's bye for now.
This is 2FM.